From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Back with another episode of Dale Carter's America. It is the continuation of Kurt Wheeler's paternity leave. So, and thank God with the next guest we're going to bring on that we don't have the cameras in here.
Let's just say I had nothing to do with the paternity leave, okay?
Yeah, it's good to know. Anyway, Kurt's gone, so you can't get it on YouTube or Rumble, but you can get it everywhere else that you get podcasts, so it's the audio-only version. It's like back to the beginning of Dale Carter's America. And we are brought to you by some great folks here in and around town. Bob Watson is my personal State Farm agent. He's been a State Farm agent for 5 decades. He's at 7th and Main in Blue Springs. 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance, licensed in both Kansas and Missouri. He can take care of you on both sides of the state line, but again, his offices are in Blue Springs. He's got all kinds of insurance. State Farm, surprisingly great rates. You've seen their commercials. Now you need a guy, and the guy in the Blue Springs, Kansas City area is my good friend, Bob Watson.
He can even insure Dale Carter's Hyundai, so don't you worry about that.
He's been my personal agent, you know, since I've lived in Blue Springs, almost 30 years.
Or did you move up to a Kia? I don't remember.
I'm not going to give out my personal vehicle information because some people don't like me, Dave. You may find this hard to believe. And I got to introduce my guest here in just a second.
But first, because he keeps interrupting him.
Exactly, because you know we got other sponsors that we have to get in here.
Oh, let's get to them. Yeah. Cha-ching.
Fun House Pizza. Oh. 50 Highway in Lee's Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. If you like your pizza with the toppings all the way up and the cold beverages and just a fun place to get your family together.
Seriously good pizza. I love Funhouse. I do.
Yeah. 50 Highway, Lee Summit, 7 Highway, Blue Springs. Jim Dingman is a huge fan of Dale Carter's America. And I knew I was going to like Jim Dingman when I met him. But then when you go to Funhouse and it says, pull up your damn pants on a sign, it's like, yeah, I like this guy. It's working out okay. All right, well, let me tell you about my guest. If you didn't recognize his voice, we worked together for a long time here, not in this building, the front of the building, before we got
upstairs.
Before we got sent down here. Well, now it's the mouse house. You don't see a mouse running through here. We had that this week. We've had floods. We've had all kinds of fun stuff going on here. Dave Caius is here. Now, you were on 102, right?
I was on all three stations. Well, there's four stations here at Steel City.
Yeah, and I wouldn't let you on KFKF.
I was on three of them. The only one who would not let me on the air was you. I did my time on 104 and 102 and Mix, but no, I wasn't good enough for KFKF.
We're talking about comedy today, which is why Dave is here. He's traveled all over the Midwest doing stand-up comedy. He's featured for many well-known comedians, Louis Anderson, Jimmy Dynamite Walker, Weird Al.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
Nice.
Yes.
You do a morning show now on a classic rock station that can be heard in Burlington, Kansas, 97.7 The Dog.
Yeah, my career's just taken off.
Licensed real estate agent.
I am. Two states.
How's that going these days?
Well, here's the funny thing. So I got my license about, I don't know, 9 years ago. And I'm kind of old and stupid. So I took all the tests. I had to take 4 different tests, and I passed them all the first time. And when I would tell my friends that I passed all my tests the first time, every one of them would go, really? Like, how stupid do my friends think I am that I could pass it the first time?
But I'm shocked.
I know. I do the leasing side because I need free time to do all my other stuff. So.
Okay. Singing telegrams is on your resume,
too. Singing telegrams. I did one last Saturday. I got another one coming up Friday.
You know I need an example of that.
Well, see, here's what I do. I dress up as this goofy nerd doctor.
Yeah.
And I show up, whether it's a man or woman, I can play off either one. And I just say, oh, it's your birthday. Well, you need a physical. I'm here to give you a physical is what I do. Is I got my little nerd voice going, and I got my nerd glasses and my lab coat and all that. And then I just do this stupid little, I got these little props, and it's a lot of fun, and it's quick money, which is what I always need, as opposed to slow money.
Well, remember, you're not getting paid for this. I am taking you to lunch afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I'm going to be ordering from the good side of the menu.
Yeah. And now I find out that you're an Emmy Award winner.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Regional Emmy. But it's still an Emmy. My good buddy, comedian friend Elliot Threet, and I did a commercial a long time ago. The Royals used to be on Time Warner. And Time Warner did a commercial for the Royals. It was before the start of the season, and Ellie and I did it. And believe it or not, we won a regional Emmy, but it's still an Emmy. So
does it look the same as a regular Emmy?
Yeah. Here's the funny thing is, they paid us $100 to do the commercial. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to buy the trophy, it was $150. You can't make this up, Dale. So in order to get the trophy that I made the commercial for, I would have lost $50.
Wow.
So Elliot's got big money. He bought it. I ran over to his house and took photos with it.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about comedy because comedy has changed so much, and Dave does stand-up comedy. Dave Kias joining us as our guest here on Dale Carter's America. And I saw this today on The Wire, which kind of is a good jumping-off point for us. It was on December 19th, 1973, that Johnny Carson, one of our heroes, created quite a stir on The Tonight Show when he mentioned that toilet paper was disappearing from store shelves. Way before COVID, by the
right.
way. Within a few days, toilet paper actually became scarce in some parts of the country, but the bit was a joke. It wasn't true.
I don't remember. This is the first time I've heard of that, and I'm a huge Johnny Carson fan.
Yeah. But that shows you the power that somebody like Johnny Carson had. I mean, back in the day, back in the Stone Age, for anybody who's younger than 50, you know, when you only had ABC, NBC, CBS, maybe an independent TV station if you were in a big city, and you had PBS. Now you've got like 5,000 choices on anything you want to
see. Well, I wrote down the numbers, and so today, and it kind of flip-flops, but Stephen Colbert is the number one late-night talk show with 1.88 million. Kimmel's got 1.68 million. Fallon's got 1.31 million. And then Seth Meyers, who comes on later, he's got 792,000. Carson, in his day, averaged, and again, the top one right now is 1.88 million. Carson averaged 9 to 15 million viewers a night.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, there were three channels, basically, and there were no other talk shows.
No competition.
So, and Johnny, as far as a comedian goes, he made so many careers, and just being on the Johnny Carson show or Tonight Show one time put comedians on the maps, and some of them, I even brought a list of some of them, Eddie Murphy, Ellen DeGeneres, Steve Martin, Andy Kaufman, George Carlin, Jim Carrey, Roseanne Barr, Jay Leno, who ended up, of course, taking over the Tonight Show, Bill Cosby, Jerry Seinfeld. I also remember I opened for Louis Anderson, and every once in a while it pops up on Facebook, Louis Anderson's very first appearance, and Louis just hit it out of the park, and his opening line was, "I got to make this quick. I'm in between meals."
Self-deprecating humor.
It was and Louis, but his opening show, and he was nervous as can be, but he was just brilliant. And by the way, when I worked with Louis, I gained like 8 pounds. I kid you not, because he'd like, "Bring us more shrimp. We need more shrimp. You got any chicken wings back there?" And Louis said, eat. So, it was fun. In fact, Louis, just a little side note, as far as comedy goes, he gave me some advice that I use today in writing material. He said, "David, go through your life and find the funny," which is what he did. If you listen to his routine, he talked about butter and his mom and growing up and all that stuff, which is hilarious. And so that's what I started doing, is I started looking at my life, finding the funny, and so now I've added jokes because thanks to Louis' great comment.
Yeah, I don't think I'm very funny, and you don't have to add anything there. but I do a morning show, and I've done one for 26 years. But where I get humor for me is like that, looking through my life, looking at the things that are going wrong, and making it self-deprecating.
Yeah, people ask me all the time. They go, "How do you write jokes?" I go, "I just live my life."
Yeah.
You and I, we're both wearing glasses. So one of the things I like to do is I like to find somebody in the audience who's also wearing glasses, and I ask the person, and I go, "Have you ever walked around your house trying to find your glasses and they're on top of your head?" And almost everybody goes, "Yep."
Yep.
And then I go, "Have you ever looked for your glasses while you're on your face?" Now, not everybody's done that. I have. And one thing I want to add, you know, you talking about you doing a morning show by yourself.
Right.
I worked for Steel City for many years, and then before that, CBS and everybody else. But it's amazing. Are you still doing your show completely by yourself?
Yes.
Everything. Mm-hmm. So all these other three radio stations here, they got their producers and their little interns and all these people run around so one person can maybe talk at a time.
Right.
And Dale Carter does it all by himself.
Well, now I have a traffic guy, Steve Parker.
Well, yeah, okay, traffic.
Steve does a good job.
Whippy-do. And Steve's great, by the way. I love Steve. He actually trained me. But it's amazing what you do to do that by yourself. That's incredible.
Well, you know, back in the day, we had, and I've got a lot of resources that I can bang off of so that, you know, it's not just me talking, right?
Right.
I've got great music that I can play and all that. But back in the day, Mary McKenna was the co-host.
Yeah.
Jim Daniels was the producer. We had Randy Burch in the newsroom.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And Gary Lezak was our weather guy. And now I'm doing all that stuff.
By yourself.
Everything except
and you do
traffic.
You do an amazing job. I do want to insult you a little bit,
please
though.
Please do.
Is the fact that I am in Burlington, Kansas doing a classic rock station, and I can at least afford a co-host.
Yeah. Talk to the Steel City people about that. And I'll point out that my contract is coming up in March. So I'd like a little more money.
Can I be there? I'm like, hey, how about a funny sidekick right here?
Why I wanted to start with Johnny Carson.
I love Johnny Carson.
Yeah. Was that he could make fun of everybody. He
yes.
could poke fun at
and
everybody.
Himself.
And himself. A lot of it was at himself.
Yes.
But he could tell jokes about either party. And it seems like now, if you go to late night, whatever, comedy, and you didn't mention Greg Gutfeld, by the way. Gutfeld is probably the ratings leader at night, but not really looked at as a comedian.
Yeah, I was looking at comedy.
He's a funny guy.
I also didn't mention Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And I did not mention The Daily Show, because both The Daily Show and Saturday Night Live and your gentleman, they're all completely one-sided.
Yeah.
The one thing that you're going to find, okay, I've done research for this show for you for
yes.
no money.
Yeah.
That's how little of a life I have. So I've been watching, I am old school. I've got a cable television and I have a DVR and I've been recording every late night show for the last, whenever you ask me, 3 weeks or however it's been. By the way, I'm not going to watch late night TV again for about a year.
Yeah, okay? You'll need an enema. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Sick of it. But the one thing I found, a couple things. Number one, I think maybe they, because, you know, they're always doing polls and checking with people. I think they've pulled back a little bit because even myself as a comedian, as an observer, I'm like, why do you have to? There's so many funny things out there in the world to talk about. Why does it all have to be political? It's just like, it's too much. It's like, no. I mean, if I got up and did my show and did nothing but political jokes, even if everybody agreed with my point of view, they'd probably walk out on me, and I would walk out on me. So I think they pulled back a little bit. They do hit the other side, but it's 20% maybe.
Yeah.
But I think they pulled back a little bit, and they had to. It got ridiculous.
It seemed to me that, and I don't watch him because it's way past my bedtime.
Yeah, it is for you.
In the clips that I would see, Jimmy Kimmel to me was the worst offender about this. He made it about his political slant. And that's it. And it's almost like, and I know he probably didn't do this, but it's like, I'm going to say Donald Trump, and then they're going to put on the laugh track thing, and everybody's going, oh, that's really funny. I mean, there's got to be more to it
than that. Well, and I think Stephen Colbert is maybe even worse than Kimmel. In fact, I broke it down as far as the order. Stephen Colbert is the most offensive as far as doing. Stephen Colbert's, first of all, again, I'm just looking at it as a comedian.
Yeah.
Okay. His monologues are just way too long. I don't know why you have to do a monologue that long. But too much of it. And sometimes the whole thing would be political. And I'm like, I don't do one political joke in my stand up. And I have a whole routine about that.
Yeah.
I don't need political jokes. You don't need political jokes. There's funny things out there. Kimmel probably was second. Who's the other guy?
Fallon.
Here's what Fallon does.
I kind of like him, by the way.
See, he's my least favorite.
Is that right?
But that's okay, because comedy is subjective. So that doesn't mean like, oh, well, you don't know comedy.
Yeah.
It's just it's a personal taste. But he always comes out, and it's funny. He does about four jokes to warm up the audience, and then he does some political stuff. And then he goes back to the other stuff, which is a little like what Johnny Carson used to do.
Right.
I've been watching Carson because, again, I've got cable. I got everything imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson, a small part of his, if there was something to talk about, would be political. And you're right. Carson would hit both sides, and it was more friendly fire. It wasn't the, let's just slam him, put him down stuff. You know, he would make jokes about Ronald Reagan and things like that. But it was just more in a fun atmosphere. But yes, I just don't know. I don't understand as a comedian why you have to do nothing but that when there's so many other things to be funny about.
We've gotten so tribal in this country. It's not. It used to be, okay, I don't see eye to eye with you, but that's okay. We can still go have a beer together.
Right.
And now it's like, not only do I not agree with you, but you must die. You've got to be eliminated from the planet.
Or we can't be friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is ridiculous.
I mean, there was one person, I won't name who said, I can't date anybody unless they're in my political lines. Well, here's the thing, Dale. I'm desperate to date anybody. So I don't care what party you're from. Yeah. I'll take you. Okay.
If you're listening to this podcast, Dale Carter's America, reach out to me and I'll hook you up with Dave Caius.
DavidStandup.com. That's DavidStandup.com.
He's desperate to date. I want to talk about political humor, and I know that's a small part of what you do, a small part of the universe. But even in my career of radio, going back, and you mentioned Johnny Carson poking fun at Ronald Reagan, and you know where I am politically.
Sure.
I mean, this is Dale Carter's America.
I know.
This is the Attila the Hun section of podcasting, if you will.
And I stay as neutral as my cat, so that's what I do.
By the way, we need a cat because we got mice here in the building.
I'll rent mine out for a price.
Rant. Here he goes again. It's always about money with that guy.
I'm a broke comedian.
When I started doing morning radio, Ronald Reagan was in his second term, right?
Oh, wow.
And he was starting to decline, much like Joe Biden is, right? And we poked fun at Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
You know, I remember we had a song parody back then called Rapping with Ronnie, which was really funny, talking about Gorbachev and the stain on his head. I mean, it was really funny stuff. And then you go from, and some of the presidents, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they just weren't funny and you just couldn't do much with
right.
them. Reagan was funny, and if you told a joke on Ronald Reagan, he'd just smile and say, well, there you go again.
Well, I get clips every once in a while of Ronald Reagan telling jokes.
Yeah, funny guy.
But he was also a performer. He was an actor.
But, you know, if you go back to that time, he and Tip O'Neill, a very liberal Democrat who was the Speaker of the House back then, they were pals.
Yeah.
And they didn't agree on much, but, you know, they could still have a beer at the end of the day and still, we need to get back to that.
We do.
So then you go to George H.W. Bush, who in my mind was not very funny. I mean, he did throw up on the Japanese prime minister, I think.
Well,
on
if that isn't a laugh,
trip.
I don't know what is.
Yeah, and he basically railed on his mom about broccoli. I'm just going off of memory. And then you had two terms of the gift that never stopped giving, and that was Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I know. And I, again, I don't do political humor in my stand-up or on the radio, but maybe if I had Clinton during those times, I probably would have. And again, Bill just kind of set himself up for fun. I mean, you got a guy who plays the saxophone. Yeah. You got things we can't talk about even on a podcast. But Bill was just, he was an out there kind of guy, you know, eating Big Macs and stuff. I remember a funny bit on Saturday Night Live, speaking of Saturday Night Live, usually picking on the Republicans, but there was a funny bit, I can't remember which character played Bill Clinton, but he would go jogging and stop at McDonald's.
Right. Daryl Hammond, wasn't it?
It could have been Hammond, or it was also, who's the other one? And God, I hate bringing this up. He's dead now. His ex-wife shot him.
Hartman. Phil Hartman.
I think Phil Hartman did it for a while, too.
Yeah.
But it was just so brilliantly funny.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a political joke. It was just having fun with
lifestyle.
Bill Clinton. Yeah. And that he would always eat McDonald's.
Yeah. George W. Bush followed him for two terms. And I poked a lot of fun at George W. Bush.
Okay.
You know, before 9/11 happened, and then we had to get a little serious about it. But, you know, George W. Bush was, on the surface, not a very intelligent person. In fact, one of the drops I had was, I've seen how things can work out for a C student, right? So he, again, self-deprecating. He was funny himself. So George W. Bush, that was a fun 8 years in terms of poking fun at the political leader, and you got to do both sides. Then Obama comes in for two terms, and between you and me, just not funny. I never found the funny there.
There wasn't a funny as far as you poking fun at him. Now, he had a good sense of humor, by himself. So it's hard to pick on somebody when they already have a sense of humor, if that makes sense. Because comedy is the opposite of what's going on. Any good joke, there's always the twist.
Mm-hmm.
And with Obama, he did his own little humor. So, well, how do you make fun of that? He's, you know, It was also still, you know, still a serious time in our country, I think.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The problem is we get too many serious times in our country, yeah, and we miss the fun.
And we're not funny anymore.
We're not funny anymore. Bring back Bill Clinton, yeah, and Ronald Reagan for some humor.
Oh, when Trump and Hillary ran against each other, I thought, man, from a morning show perspective, oh, I'm going to win either way. I either get the Trump the presidency or we get the Clintons back in the White House.
Right.
I mean, so speaking of Trump, you know, that was 4 years of, I mean, he sets himself up.
Yeah.
You know, if you went into my studio in the drop library on Donald Trump, it goes on for pages.
Wow.
And he would say whatever. He'd say, you know, I could go out in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and my poll numbers would go up. I mean, that's funny.
There was going back again to Saturday Night Live, a very funny skit they did where Trump was speaking and his speechwriter was in another room listening to the speech and he's going, no, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't just read the script. Just read the script. Just read the script. And that's Donald. He always goes off script. And then again, you know, we had 9/11, which was a very serious time. Well, then we had COVID, yeah, which was a very serious time.
Right.
So that messes with your comedy right there, I'm,
yeah,
telling you.
That's tough to do.
It is.
So now you've got Joe Biden, and it's clear to anyone with a pulse that he is in decline.
He's a little older, yes.
He's 81, and I would even go out further and say he's an old 81.
Now, I'm going to get in trouble for this.
No, you're not.
But I would love it if they could find two 50-year-olds on each side to go against each other.
Wouldn't that be great?
I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
I want two younger people who can relate.
The next generation.
Yes, the next generation.
I want them to talk about policy. It's why I didn't even
mind.
We're
talking about Travis Kelce being old, okay? I mean, give me a break. We got 81-year-old, and Trump's, what, about 79?
He's old. He's in his 70s.
And
yeah,
again, I'm not picking on either side.
Right, exactly.
I'm just saying I'd like to see two 50-year-olds go against each other.
Yeah.
And let's youth it up.
To your point, I mean, if you look at the polls, a vast majority of America says they don't want this matchup between Trump and Biden.
No.
Yet that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, probably.
So where do you draw the line, though, on Biden where it's just not funny to pick on an old man who's sliding?
Well, again, I don't do political jokes, so I'm unfortunately in that realm, I'm the wrong person to joke or ask about it. But I've, you know, they love to show the clips of him falling down.
Yeah.
Now, my buddy Elliot Three, who is a wonderful person, and you should have him on the show. He has this great joke because Elliot's older, I'm older. We're going to pretend you're older, and the joke is, you know, you're getting old is when you fall down and nobody laughs.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, you know, when Biden falls down, nobody laughs. When I fall down, first of all, people are not sure if I'm getting up, and nobody laughs. You know, I remember, just a complete side note, I do real estate leasing part time, and I was showing these apartments, and the leasing manager happened to be there, and this young couple, and we're going down these like three steps, okay? And I'm telling some stupid cat story because it's what I do, and I'm not paying attention, and I go to fall. Now, I don't know if this happens to you. You've lost weight. You look great, by the way. But I'm still heavy. And I started to do that fat guy, old man fall where it's like in slow motion.
I've done that.
Oh, it's so, because you know it's coming.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to,
yeah,
hurt.
You know it.
But you're not young enough to get your feet underneath you, yeah, to stop the fall. And boom, I hit. And they're like, are you okay? And I pretended to be okay while I'm sitting there going, did I break anything? Is anything broken?
You know, true.
That's an old man fall.
I swear to God, I did that this week.
Did you really?
Yeah, my house is on a hill. And I was walking downhill to get to the mailbox,
oh, no,
and I stepped in a hole in my front,
oh, no,
yard, and I did the slow motion thing where I fell down, and I checked myself, make sure I'm not bleeding, nothing's broken, and there was like nobody out,
no,
in the neighborhood. So I'm sitting there in my front yard going, did anybody see this? Can I get my ass back up so that, you know, I can walk back to the house?
I did that. I went to get something out of my car at about 10 o'clock at night, and I've got a attached garage, but it's an old house. It's a stone house, so you have to go outside to, mm-hmm, get to the garage, and I'm walking back to my house, like I said, about 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, and I tripped over this thing I was carrying, and I, again, old man slow motion fall, and I see myself heading for the sidewalk. So I tried to throw myself onto the grass to lessen the fall. No, I bounced on the sidewalk, then I bounced on the ground, and here's the best part. I landed on a stick that had a little ball of mud on it. I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
It went up in the air and landed in my mouth as I went, ow!
You couldn't do that again if you tried.
No, not 100,000 times. Now I'm laying there on a Sunday night swearing in my front yard while laying on the ground, expecting a neighbor to come out and go, "Are you okay?" Nothing.
Nobody. Crickets. Well, you know, I have to ask the $64,000 question then. Did you fall down or did you have a fall? There's an age thing there, right? You get to an age where you had a fall versus falling down.
I think at this point they're all falls. You just had a fall. And they hurt.
Yeah. How old are you? Will you tell me? Because it goes into our next sponsor.
Okay, let me say this. Because, you know, we're talking politics and stuff. Thank you, government, for my Medicare. Let me just say that.
Yeah. That ties in because Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker, they run a company called MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Now, how long have you been on Medicare? Has it been a while?
About a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we just went through the open enrollment thing. So that would have been your first open enrollment.
Well, no, this is second, and I have the supplement,
Did you make changes?
I didn't make any changes because the first year went good, and having the supplement has been really good.
Okay. Yeah. So Kirk and Lori are the people who can help you navigate that because it comes from the government, so you know it's going to be easy to use, right? Thanks for playing. And they do in-home appointments, too. You don't even have to go to them. They'll come to you. They're at 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence, on the phone at 816-701-6661. And again, the website is MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. They're great folks to work with, and they will help you navigate all the traps that come with Medicare.
And being a Medicare recipient, I strongly suggest going to a professional. It will help you out a lot because it's very confusing.
And they don't get paid for this. It comes out of whatever enroll in. It comes from a commission on that. So you don't pay them to help you figure out what you need to do. They can explain the complicated Medicare prescription drug program. How's that working out for you?
It's been really good.
You get your little blue pills that way?
Dude, they're big blue pills. I'm heavy. No, you know, the thing of it is, here's the funny thing is so this is my second year of having Medicare, and I started taking Social Security at 62.
Yeah.
Which luckily was right before COVID happened. So that was a godsend to help me get through COVID. So this year, it's really funny because this is my second year with having Medicare. So they make this big deal about, your Social Security's going up. Barely. And so my Social Security goes up. But then so does my Medicare. So my net increase is like nothing. You know, it's like, you can get a Big Mac with that net increase. So, yeah.
More singing telegrams.
Dude,
for you.
Dude, so I will dress up anywhere, anytime.
You have let us know that you are well beyond 50.
Yes.
So if you had your colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you got one of those. You know, now with colon cancer, it's happening younger and younger. So now they've drawn the line at 45. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're 45 or older, you have not had a colonoscopy yet, you need Dr. Mark Terramina and his fine folks at Midwest GI Health. You know, they're on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. They're in Lee Summit. They do it all right there in the location they have. They do the upper GI as well, the entire digestive tract. That's what they're specialists in. And they'll take care of you. They get 4.9 out of 5 stars on Google rating. That's the highest in Kansas City. Look at them on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. Schedule your appointment at 816-836-2200. I think we all know, Dave, people who have had cancer, maybe colon cancer, and we are seeing it younger now.
Yeah, we are. And I got mine done, and I also got the upper GI done because I thought I might be having some issues. Mm. First of all, the good news, when I got done, and I'm still half drugged up when he tells me this, and I'm with my friend who's my ride, and he says, "I don't want to see you in 10 years." And I'm like, "I don't want to see you in 10 years either." But here's the funny part is, so you go in and you're a little nervous. You did the prep the day before.
Oh, yeah.
And so they roll me in. I'm laying on my side. And then I close my eyes. And then I open my eyes. And I said to the nurse, I said, because I've been sitting there for a little while. And I said, look, I don't want to be I always try to be a good patient. I literally, okay, Dale, I say a prayer before any surgical thing. Is like, don't let me be a little whiny patient, okay? Let me be a decent patient. So I stopped the nurse and I said, look, I don't want to be whiny. I said, but when are we going to do the procedure? And she goes, it's done. I go, seriously?
Yeah.
She goes, yes. And the thing of it is, the drug that they give you is the weirdest drug because I literally closed my eyes and then opened my eyes and it was done.
Yeah.
And so people are always freaked out about the procedure. I said, oh, when they knock you out with the drug, you're fine. It's unfortunately, the prep is no fun, but you know, it's not horrible. And I recommend everybody do it. I'm kind of coming up on the second one that I got to do pretty soon.
So the first time you got it done, you got the clean bill of health, and they said, see you in 10 years.
I don't know if I can say this, and you can edit this later, but I when I asked the nurse, I said, you know, have they done the procedure? She goes, we're done. I instantly farted a dry fart because there was nothing in my body.
There, right.
It just went, it was just air. It just went. and so I went, oh, I guess we did, you know.
So you could hear it.
I heard it, yeah. And but it was just so funny because it was like the driest one I've ever had in my life. And I went, okay, I guess you did. All right.
Oh,
you know?
Man, my dog, you can't hear them, number one, but they are the worst in the world. Silent but deadly.
Yes.
My dog wrote the book on that. So
oh, by the way, I wanted to mention your dog. Okay.
Baby Harry.
Okay. Are you still married, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. Because you post 99 more pictures of your dog than you do your poor wife. I'm like... Does Dale ever go on vacation with his wife? Because all I see... Now, here's the thing. I'm an animal person. I got two cats, but I love animals. I love dogs. I think it's fantastic that you're smitten with this dog. I really do.
I've never felt this way about a dog.
I know. You can tell on your Facebook posts. Yeah. And I think it's wonderful.
I've had dogs before, but it's like this one, I don't know what it is. His personality or whatever. He's gotten both of us. And my wife has to approve any images that appear online.
Oh.
So that makes her a little more difficult to take pictures of. But they're out there. I'll work on that.
Well, I'm like, is he still married? Because I think he married the dog.
Don't say that too loud. Oh, boy. You know, comedy is self-deprecating and all that. And I put this up on Facebook, and we talked about it on my show. We're watching the Chiefs-Patriots game,
okay.
Right? And they did a close-up of Belichick. And my wife goes, aren't you about the same age? And I'm like... Well, I don't know. Let me Google that.
Right.
And I did, and Bill Belichick is 71, which is 11 years older than me.
Ouch.
So, I threw her under the bus quite a bit.
Well,
on,
now
on
we
the
see why the
yesterday.
Pictures of the dog are ending up on Facebook.
Theory of comedy. Okay. And you probably know, you've probably broken this down. The theory of comedy is time plus tragedy, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So, my theory of comedy is that comedy's not funny. Now, let me tell you where
okay.
I came up with that theory. I'm watching Everybody Loves Raymond, so this is how long ago this was.
I love that show.
And I love it, too. And I'm laughing at it, and as I'm thinking about watching this particular episode, I'm thinking all of these lines that are eliciting a lot of laughter, taken out of context, aren't funny.
Right.
They're being horrible to each other.
Right.
And we're laughing at it. So... comedy's not funny.
By the way, I love Everybody Loves Raymond. Do you remember the episode with the suitcase that was on the stairs and nobody would take it all the way upstairs? And they got, like, it was this fight, but they never fought. They never said anything about it. And they just left this suitcase. It was because they had that staircase. You went up about four steps and then you went up the rest.
Right.
And they went on vacation and one of them left the suitcase there and nobody would get it. And they were mad at each other, but they wouldn't. Nobody would just say, would you get the suitcase?
Right.
And that's a married couple thing. You've been married like 8 times, so you should relate to this. But again, it's not a punchline thing.
Yeah.
For me personally, I started doing comedy. I wanted to do kind of a Jerry Seinfeld, Ellen DeGeneres kind of storytelling. Didn't work for me. What happened was I kind of got into that setup punchline. Now I do a lot of improv in my show. I get people up on stage. I do all kinds of goofy stuff, magic tricks. But my jokes in the beginning are kind of set up punchlines. And Louis Anderson, when I worked with him in Kansas City, he started complaining about the crowd. And I go, what's the matter? He goes, I forgot this is a setup punchline city. I go, seriously? He goes, yeah, I can't do stories with them. They want set up. So it might be a regional thing, but I learned, that's why I am what I am now. Now, it works all over the country. I keep doing it, and then I do mostly Midwest. But the whole concept of something funny, but it's not a punchline, is to me a really high form of comedy. There's a comedian, and I don't know his last name, and he just hosted Saturday Night Live, and he did a brilliant job. Nate something. He's coming to Kansas City. He's got kind of an unusual last name. He does a very clean show, and he doesn't really do punchlines. He just talks about his life, and it's just funny. Like he does a great bit about how he's not a handyman, and the handyman came over to fix something, and the handyman was talking to him, and he goes, "Dude, you need to talk to my wife. I don't know how to fix anything in the house," you know, which is inherently funny because typically it's the man that
certainly
does
I can relate to that. I can't fix anything in my house.
Well, I wanted to mention your leaking swimming pool, but anyway,
I write checks. That's my talent in life.
That's why you have four jobs.
Oh, no kidding. How many wives?
Well. Last I checked, I don't know. Once you get past one hand, as far as wives go, what are you up to, six now?
No,
seven?
No, just three. Now, my dad was married five times.
Seriously?
And he died when he was 50.
Oh,
so
well.
I'm 10 years older than my dad, and I'm only on number three.
Yes.
So I think I'm in good
shape.
Did
your dad have any money when he died?
I know.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Not a bit. So blue comedy. You know, you mentioned that a little bit. Where are you on that? Blue comedy versus not blue?
Okay. Again, let me first start with my perspective.
Yeah.
I can do either. I can do, if you ask me for a church show or a corporate show and they say, please keep it clean, I respect the audience.
Yeah.
To me, I always put the audience first. Some comedians don't do that. That's fine for them. That's not how I operate. So if I'm doing a church show or a corporate show or a family reunion and they want G-rated, they get G-rated. Now, if I'm doing a little bar in Iowa and I get up there with my little clean jokes and they're sitting there drinking their buckets of beer, they're going to eat me alive. So yes, I'll work blue in those situations. And I'm not going to lie to you. I like working blue.
Do
okay.
You?
Yeah, I have a potty mouth. I am not an adult. I gave up being an adult
about
30 years ago.
Well, you know, this is the podcast world. You can say anything you want on this podcast. We've thrown F-bombs out on this.
I appreciate that, Dale. But here's the thing. As soon as I sit down in front of a microphone like this, my brain goes clean.
Yeah, mine too. Because usually we do this podcast in another room because it's got cameras and everything, and we do it on the video. We're doing this podcast today because of Kurt being on paternity leave. We're doing it in the Mix 93.3 studio. I am standing where Rocket would be down.
Oh, short joke! Short joke alert!
But I'm where Rocket would be, and I'm scared to death because this is their actual audio board, and I'm afraid if I drop an F-bomb, it's going to get on Mix 93.3.
Yeah, I am... My brain, I'm lucky. I have, first of all, God gave me a switch as a performer.
Yeah.
I can be sick as a dog, and all of a sudden I hit that stage, and the switch goes on, and I can do a show. And here's the weird thing is, because this has happened several times where I'm sick, and I go on stage, I do a show, I come off the stage, and one of two things happen. I immediately get sick again. I swear to God. Mm. Or it goes away and never comes back. It's a weird little phenomenon. But as far as radio goes, again, I've got another little switch that says, Dave, clean it up, you idiot. And even though you just gave me permission, and I would love to do it. I can't bring myself when I'm sitting in front of a microphone.
All right, well, I won't pull that out of you.
But if I'm doing stand-up comedy, and I don't do... How I want to put this? I do an R-rated adult show, but I don't do an X-rated adult show. That's not my style.
And I'm sad to say I've never seen your stand-up, and I need to fix that.
It's
I need
brilliant.
To get out and see something. The way I test stand-up comedy is if I laugh so hard that I get lightheaded.
Oh.
And there are certain comedians who've done that to me. Rodney Carrington. I love Rodney Carrington. And I'm hard to offend because I'm a morning guy in radio. You really have to try to offend me. And I thought about this. The only comedian who ever offended me was Sam Kennison.
Really?
Yeah, I saw one of his last performances, right?
Okay.
I mean, he died like the next week in that traffic accident. But I'm sitting there, and I'm laughing so hard that I'm getting lightheaded and all that. And then at the end of the routine, he did a routine on Jerry's Kids, the MDA.
Oh, okay.
And he's like,
right.
And I'm like, even me who will laugh at pretty much anything, I think that's over the line.
I have a line when I watch comedians. There are certain things that I go, no, you cross the line. Doesn't mean I won't still watch that comedian. It just means I didn't like that particular routine. Now, talk about lightheaded. There's two comedy shows that I've seen in my life that I almost literally had to go to the lobby because I was laughing so hard I could not breathe.
Right.
One of them was Richard Pryor.
Oh, I loved Richard Pryor.
And Richard Pryor, what he did was, which was genius, and this was... 50 years ago, whenever it was, is he would do a comedy show, film it, and then put it in movie theaters and make more money off of it. Now, of course, everything's video, but he did his whole routine about when he caught on fire that time.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I could not breathe, and I almost went to the lobby. And then the other time was I saw George Carlin at the Midland.
George Carlin.
And Carlin did this one routine. Usually, Okay, let me do a little comedy for you. Is you tell a joke and you wait for the laughter to peak and then it starts to come down and then you start to tell one. Well, he just kept going one on top of another, top of another one, top, and they were all fart jokes. And I was literally laughing so hard I couldn't breathe, and I put my fingers in my ears so I couldn't hear him for a little while.
Yeah.
But that's just brilliant comedy to be able to do that.
And Carlin didn't have to get blue hardly at all.
He did. Carlin, okay, we'll talk about political stuff. To me, his last, I don't know, let's just say 10 years, he got kind of, what's the word, What does the preachers do?
He got a vagina? What?
I'm trying to think of the word. But he got real.
Evangelical?
Yes. And about politics and this. And to me, he just lost. He got to be a grumpy old man. He lost his funny. And I quit following him after that. But back in his day, my God. I saw him twice. The first time, it was unbelievable. The second time he came out, and he was actually kind of he was struggling with the audience. And I thought, this is George Carlin, and he knew it.
Yeah.
And I knew that he knew it. And under his breath, he said to himself, just loud enough that I heard it, he said, I'm going to have to work tonight.
Yeah.
So he started, because he has so much comedy material. I mean, I got my 45 minutes, and then if you don't like it, see ya, give me my check. But he's got so much material that he tried this and this, and then he did a musical bit, and everybody lit up, and he went, oh, you like musical? And he went like for an hour on musical stuff. Because he had so much material. But it was interesting to watch Carlin work. Can we get back to, by the way, late night monologues for a second?
Sure.
Is that okay?
You're the guest.
Well,
drive the bus. We're getting to the end of the episode, and I get to eat Q39 at the end of it. So I got to get a couple more sponsors in, and then you can do the rest.
No, I'm eating Q39. So here's the thing that upsets me or drives me nuts as a comedian with late night talk show. When you go back and watch Johnny Carson, mm-hmm. Ed introduces Johnny. He comes out, huge applause and everything. But Johnny had to earn his jokes back in the day. His audiences did not automatically laugh at his jokes. If they weren't funny, they didn't laugh.
But those were some of the funniest moments.
It was. But he had to really work at it. Now, I have a real problem with all the late night talk show people now. Now, you know Craig Burnett. Do you remember Craig? Well, anyway.
I know the name.
Craig Burnett helps me with a bunch of stuff. He went to see the taping of David Letterman many years ago.
Right.
And he said, this guy comes out before the show, and he says, if David says something and you think it's funny, it's funny. So in other words, no matter how, even if it's a lame joke, everybody laughs. Well, here's what they do now, and I'm going to ruin this for all your listeners, is people now, they don't laugh at the jokes, they applaud the jokes. Okay, I've been doing comedy for 30 years. Every once in a while, I get a applause break because the joke's so funny. That's rare. But in late night TV, they say a joke, it's lame. Oh, isn't that great? No, it sucked. All right? It sucked. Most of their material sucks.
You know, but whether it was meant to happen this way or not, what I remember about Carson was when he would have a bomb, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he would riff on that.
Oh, he would have. He was so good at. But here's the thing: the new
and
guys.
And that was funny.
It was very funny. And if you remember the soft shoe routine, the guy would hit the piano, and Johnny would do this little soft shoe tap dance, which was brilliant. Or one time, I remember he said, "Is this thing on?" Which is an old comedy bit, and he reached up to the mic and knocked the mic out of the boom. But if you noticed, and again, I've been studying Johnny, which has really been interesting, is he looks at Ed McMahon a lot. That's his buffer. And God bless Ed, because Ed would laugh at all of his jokes.
Of course he would.
Whether it's
he was
funny,
paid well to laugh at
he was paid
it.
Well to do it, and he knew what to do.
Yeah.
And laughter, when you go to live comedy, you know, the bigger the crowd, the better, because maybe I tell a joke and only one quarter of the audience likes the joke, but they laugh at it, but it kind of triggers the other people to laugh at it. Whereas if you're doing a small crowd, you better be on point because this is it. Now, with the late night talk show thing, I, again, this as a comedian, this, can I say pisses me off?
Absolutely.
This pisses me off.
All right.
Because they get guaranteed laughter when they don't earn it.
Yeah.
When I do comedy, I'm Dave Caius, okay? How many of you listening have heard of me? Raise your hand. Even Dale isn't raising his hand, okay? So when I go to do a comedy show, I'm just the next, here's the comedian. This out-of-town guy. I've got to earn my laughs. And I do. I'm good at it. I'm sorry, but I've been doing it for 30 years. I'm good at it. I work hard at it. These late night guys, they just go up and throw out any lame joke and everybody, oh, isn't that brilliant? Isn't that no, it's not. It's not.
All right.
Earn your jokes, people.
Sometimes Angry Dave is funny.
Angry Dave's kind of the funniest.
There's a big spectrum of all this stuff.
I spent a lot of time being a grumpy old man.
Well, and you mentioned the word triggered, which takes me to one of our sponsors, Clay Como Shooters.
You know,
I don't know where you are on the Second Amendment and all that.
I own a gun, and I notice you're packing, so I'm going to be nice the rest of the show.
All right. So Clay Como Shooters, they're the official gun of Dale Carter's
nice.
America. We've actually been to the range with them. They have law enforcement, former law enforcement. They're big on training. In fact, I'm kind of a novice in the whole gun area. Mm-hmm. Kurt is the gun guy.
Right.
And I schooled him at the range. Absolutely schooled. He's not here to defend himself, so I can say that. If you've gotten a gun maybe for Christmas or whatever, you want to protect yourself, protect what you own, get the training that comes with it, and Clay Como Shooters will take care of you. You can shop firearms. They've got a range, memberships. Training is key. Pistols, rifles, ammo, accessories. Come train with us at 69 Highway in Clay Como at 816-452-4867. You'll find those guys on the web at claycomoshooters.com. And it's amazing how every step they take, they want to sell you a gun, of course, but they want you to be trained, because if it ever comes
Absolutely.
To it, you got to know what you're doing.
Here's the thing. Here's my philosophy on it real quick. I want the good people to have guns, and I want the good people who have guns to be trained. Because if you're not trained with a gun, you know, bad things can happen accidentally. You don't mean for it to do, but absolutely get the training. It brings you peace of mind in understanding your gun.
Well, that's where insurance comes in, too. And that's why Bob Watson's my guy in Blue Springs, 7th and Main in Blue Springs at 816-229-7878. Bob Watson will get you insured. And, boy, he went through, you talk about being an insurance guy. It's not just me. And I was a horrible driver for a long time. But I got four sons.
Oh, gosh.
And he insured all of them.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And, in fact, I have gray hair because of my sons, and Bob has gray hair because of my sons.
That's why Dale used to do high school football games just to pay for the insurance.
No kidding. Bob Watson's my guy, though. He's been with me every step of the way. Blue Springs State Farm agent for 5 decades. He covers both Missouri and Kansas, and you can find them at 816-229-7878. You can bundle your home and car insurance and save even more money with State Farm. It's good to have a team. And Bob's assembled a great team at 816-229-7878.
And you always want an insurance agent that you can trust, like Bob.
Yeah.
So
Bob's a great
key.
Guy.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Somebody you can trust.
Okay, so a couple of more things here, and then we'll go eat lunch. We lost Norman Lear recently. He was 101.
Somebody said, I can't remember who it was. They were talking about him on TV, and they said, you know, he was 101, but you felt like you still lost him too soon.
Yeah.
And I heard him talk, because they've been doing a lot of tributes to him, and they always said that when he would walk into a room, even though he was older than everybody else, everybody thought he was younger than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because he had that spirit.
And he's responsible for a lot of groundbreaking television. I mean, the first thing that's going to be in his obituary is going to be All in the Family.
Yep.
But, you know, Maude, the Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, which I just love watching.
Tremendous
Sanford and
show.
Son reruns. But his kind of comedy kind of made you uncomfortable when you saw it, especially Archie Bunker when he would say different things, but you could laugh at the uncomfortableness that you felt.
Him and Mel Brooks did things back in the day that you can't do now, which is a shame, because we need to be able to. Okay, there's this old thing called rule number 62, and rule 62 is don't take yourself too damn seriously, okay? And that's the problem these days. Everybody takes everything too seriously. And back then, he could look at the difficulties of it and make it funny. When you think Norman Lear and All in the Family, the first thought I always have is the episode with Sammy Davis Jr.
Right.
And he went to take a picture with him, and Sammy Davis kissed Archie Bunker on the cheek. One of the most outstanding, funniest moments in TV history. And it was very simple, but it was just so funny.
We make a lot of fun on this podcast of the race baiters out there, like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all that. And what I said, you know, when we did the obituary on our show for Norman Lear, was he did more for race relations than any of those guys put together.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with it is, if you get to know people who are different than you, I think what happens is if you sit them down and go to Q39, all right, let's all go to Q39. By the time you get done, you're going to realize you have more in common than you have that are different.
By the way, I'm sending Q39 a bill. This is the most mentions they've had on this podcast, and they're not a sponsor.
Well, I know. And the thing of it is, since I'm getting the burnt ends, the brisket, and the ribs...
You're going to stick it to me, aren't you?
Oh, come on, man.
Wow.
I've had to talk for like 30 minutes.
You've done a great job.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So, Norman Lear, anything else on that? I kind of interrupted you.
No, you didn't. Just brilliant TV, brilliant mind, a progressive mind, but found a way to take difficult situations and make them funny, which we need to do more of today.
Well, you mentioned Mel Brooks, too, and I think we've all said this at a time or two, that those kinds of things like Blazing Saddles and All in the Family, you couldn't do them again.
No, you can't, and it's a shame.
That's a shame. I mean, what if we did?
You know, I think certain comedians...
At some point, don't you have to push back and say, look, you people who are offended have, you know, your panties in a wad, stick up your ass, you know, go somewhere else.
Okay, I'm prejudiced. I'm a comedian. I want everybody to laugh more. I think we need to laugh more. I mean, we've been through 9/11. We've been through COVID. We've been through serious times. That's why with my show, and again, just to mention, I don't do the political stuff because I don't get serious. My morning show's
the same
way.
Do you do racial stuff?
No, because I'm a 66-year-old white guy. What racial stuff can I do? Now,
I think you could poke fun at being a 60-something white guy.
Yeah, but there's just too many jokes. And, now, I think right now probably somebody who kind of does that is Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
I think Dave Chappelle does things now that, you know, and he gets in trouble for it, but he's like, screw you, I'm a multimillionaire, I'll say what I want. And so I think he does things that most comedians can't get away with. But, you know, I also think back about Sam Kinison. You know, I have to be nice to my women viewer or audience members, but Sam would rip into women like nobody's business, and the women found it funny. And that's the thing. If they can tell that you're being funny and there's humor behind it, people see that. Now, if you're truly angry, you know, and really hate these people, well, people pick up on that too. That's why Don Rickles, who was one of my idols.
I was just thinking that.
You know, Rickles could rip on everybody.
Joan Rivers could rip on people.
Joan Rivers could rip on everybody. But they also knew it was all about comedy. It wasn't meant to be hateful. Where I really don't want to hurt you. I remember I was performing at the old Stanford's Comedy Club years ago. And by the way, if you need a radio station closed or a comedy club closed, call me because I close a lot of them over the years. So I was performing at Stanford's, and I had this older gentleman in the audience, and he and I were going back a little bit. It was very funny, and I did one too many old guy jokes, okay? And everybody went, oh, and you know what? They were right. And I was like, you know, I didn't need to take it to that next joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes less is more with that.
I agree, and I have something from that, and I don't do stand-up, but I was hosting some event in Blue Springs, and this is right after the Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light thing.
Oh, okay.
And I was making jokes. I can't remember what I was... What the hell was I? I don't even remember what it was. But it was an event, and I saw somebody had a Bud Light, and I made a comment about it. And then I came back to it, and I made another comment about it. And somebody from one of the other tables goes, I think you can move on from the Bud Light stuff. I mean, when you get that, you know it's time, right?
Well, there's also here's a little behind the scenes of comedy. There's the rule of threes. So you can do something funny three times, and after that you have to let it go no matter how funny it is. And so because I talk a lot to my audience, and so I get these running jokes going with them, but then all of a sudden I go, oh, that's the third one, let it go. Same thing with my radio show, you know, third joke, let it go. So, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
I remember early on in the Bud Light thing, somebody did something, and it was a quick little joke, and I went, oh, glad you're enjoying your Bud Light. And then I moved on, and everybody just started laughing, you know. And of course, they weren't drinking a Bud Light.
Right.
But
just a little bit of it.
Just a little
spice.
Bud Light, but it was there, you know.
All right.
I take those comedy moments.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
Thank you for having me on. Johnny Carson, still the king of all late night comedy.
Agreed.
Yes, I agree. I wish when it comes to political stuff, they would just cut back. There's do some, but no, you don't need the whole monologue of it. Look up that comedian guy, davidstandup.com. Book him for your next event, davidstandup.com. Did I say that enough times?
I think you did.
Did I break the rule of three?
See, we're at the 53-minute mark. How many times do you think you did it?
Oh, davidstandup.com,
All right, well, I do appreciate you coming in to pinch in.
It's good to see you. I haven't seen you forever.
Great,
you look
seeing
great.
You too. You need a haircut.
But that's just between you and me. I am the grumpy old man now. I don't care.
Dave Caius is his name. And until next week, when Kurt is going to be back, the baby's doing great. We'll be back on video and all the bells and whistles that come with that. This is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.